Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Spring is in the air, and at Minky Couture, we're celebrating this joyful season with warmth, love, and the softest, coziest blankets. Whether you're cuddling up after an Easter egg hunt or gifting a little extra comfort to someone special, our luxury blankets make every moment even sweeter. From our Minky family to yours, happy Easter. May your day be filled with love, laughter, and all the cozy moments you can dream of. Visit us online at minkycouture.com or stop by one of our stores to find your perfect Minky hug today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. What would a daily fantasy lineup be without Paul Skeens, who makes his debut today in the big league level, 4:05 Eastern? That is the subject of our daily fantasy look. Let's take a look at the pricing here, and the lineup Davis has today does include Skeens at 9,000 over on DraftKings. Max Fried is the other starter that Davis has here at 8,600, followed by Gabby Moreno at catcher, 3,400 for Arizona. A bit of a stack, as you can see, with Walker as well. Jorge Mateo, 3,200, Davis. Let's start off with that. Your two pitchers, and it looks like a mini stack of Diamondbacks for you today.
Yeah, I do really like the spot for the Diamondbacks. We can get a little bit more into that. Of course, I had to go with Paul Skeens. Is it absolutely 100% optimal? I mean, you know, it's not a particularly strong starting pitching slate. We've got Zach Littell and Nestor Cortez going as the other higher priced starting pitchers. I'm really not into the opposing starting pitcher here, Justin Steele against the Pirates. I don't like John Means, Jesus Luzardo coming off the IL, Taiwan Walker. Like, it's just a bunch of very average starting pitchers. Weirdly, the guy who has been the best this season, who is going on the slate, we have Christian Scott, who in his first start against Tampa Bay got 22 DraftKings points with 6 strikeouts, but he's got this horrible matchup against the Mets. So I can justify it. I think I can justify Paul Skeens pretty easily. Fried started out the season absolutely brutal. I mean, just got absolutely shelled by Philadelphia, by Arizona to start the year. Did not have a strong start against Houston. Of course, got things back on track, Craig, against your Miami Marlins. Got through unscathed against the Dodgers in his most recent start. And he's got what I think is a plus matchup against the Mets. No disrespect, obviously, intended to John Means, but he is one of the weaker starting pitchers on the slate. He also is, for Major League Baseball purposes, I love a good stack against a left-handed starting pitcher, because when things go bad for left-handed starting pitchers, generally speaking, it means lots of home runs, because the Diamondbacks will have 9 right-handed hitters in against him today. John Means is a fly ball pitcher, gives up the home runs. We're using Moreno and Walker, both of who are decent power hitters. And we are going with Jorge Mateo on the other side of that game, because Jorge Mateo, when he has strong games, he has very strong games, because he is an events hitter. He has home runs and he has stolen bases with a horrible batting average. And he's quite cheap. I mean, his price, actually, you wouldn't think, but sometimes Jorge Mateo can be like a $4,500 player on DraftKings if he's having a good week. So we got him down at 3,200. I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, stealing bases has been the key for Mateo. All right, now at third base for the Pirates, Ke'Bryan Hayes will go against the Cubs. Davis has him in at 4,600. Anthony Volpe for the Yankees at 4,700. Nick Castellanos homered last night against Miami, 4,000 tonight. Grichuk is 3,100. Michael Harris of Atlanta is always around the 4,500 range tonight. This afternoon, he's at 4,400 today.
So starting with Ke'Bryan Hayes, I like some of the right-handed guys that we've got here for the Pirates against Justin Steele. I am not a big Justin Steele believer. Now, Hayes, finally kind of started to put it back together a little bit last year after being so good as a rookie in those 95 plate appearances, 15 home runs, 10 steals last year. Not exactly at those same heights this year. He's not been running at all. I kind of wonder what the deal is there, but I don't know. Maybe the deal is that just like I can't quit Ha Sung Kim, I also cannot quit Ke'Bryan Hayes, and maybe that'll end up being a loss. Volpe and the Yankees, I feel all right about today. I do really like that Volpe has basically kind of turned his career around. Strikeouts are down, walks are up. Now, the power, maybe not exactly where you would want it to be, 144 isolated slugging. You'd like him to be more at kind of the 180. Castellanos, I believe, is one of the better buy lows in baseball right now. I think all of his peripheral stuff looks fine. If you just looked at his strikeouts, his walks, his line drives, his fly balls, his ground balls, all that stuff basically looks the exact same as it did when he was getting MVP votes, when he was hitting 35, 40 home runs. I'm not worried about him in any way. I think he remains strong. I continue to like the Diamondbacks here, so I like Grichik. Harris, I think, is basically just fine. You know, you kind of just always want a Brave. If you wanted to go full Arizona, you could toss in Lourdes Gurriel Jr. They are the same price, but that is how Major League Baseball DFS looks for me today.
All right, Ronald Acuña Jr. homered yesterday. So did Ozzie Albies for Atlanta, by the way. Also a note for the afternoon game. It looks like Kyle Schwarber going to get a day off against Lizardo of Miami. Schwarber left last night with a sore back, lefty-lefty matchup. Maybe play Sunday, but Phillies are playing great baseball right now. They can afford to give a guy a day off. All right, coming up next, no days off for Adam Kaufman, breaking down the National Basketball Association. Two games tonight. We'll preview them next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We'll pivot from baseball to basketball. A couple of big games, of course, this weekend going on, especially today, and some interesting results as the NBA is sort of upside down here. We've had some games that we thought could potentially go one way. They've gone the other way. Boy, hard to navigate. Let's bring in Adam Kaufman to see if we can do it. We've got the Thunder and the Mavericks, Celtics and Cavaliers. And Adam, I feel like that's probably a good place to start, is that this round in particular has been a little bit of expect the unexpected. You saw the Timberwolves win in Denver. You saw Denver win in Minnesota. You saw Cleveland win in Boston. You saw Oklahoma City look like they weren't going to lose to Dallas, then Dallas went to one in game two. So it makes it fun. It's just it's tough to navigate right now.
Well, it's nice after what was a generally very predictable and boring round one too. So just the fact that obviously these teams are keeping us on our toes a little bit, making things more interesting, whether it be in the betting space, the DFS landscape, or just sheer entertainment value. Yeah, that's what we're looking for. I mean, you'd like to eliminate some of the blowouts, have some of these games be a little bit closer, but in terms of actually maybe feeling like we're going to see 6-7 game series, sure, it's a good thing.
Definitely is a good thing. I mean, I think that we probably will see Dallas, Oklahoma City go 6 or 7. I mean, I certainly would prefer that to be a quicker series, get Shea some rest. I don't think that will be the direction that it goes in. The Mavericks did the right thing. They just absolutely punished Oklahoma City for using Josh Giddey. Josh Giddey did not even start the second half of game two. They inserted Aaron Wiggins into that lineup. They said, look, if Giddey is going to be on the floor, we're putting him in every action. You got to get rid of him, which then obviously limits Oklahoma City's offense because they have to play basically a non-shooter. You know, they have to play Aaron Wiggins, who's out there for his defense. And Maxi Kleba has not been available for the Mavericks, which means they always have to play a non-shooter, whether it be Daniel Gafford or whether it be Derek Lively Jr. So kind of how do you see that series playing out? Do you think that is one that we see get extended into six or seven games?
I think that's likely, as much as, you know, it'd be great to see the young Thunder get a little bit of rest. That being said, they are the youngest team in the field, and they were going into the playoffs, and so maybe the young legs don't need any rest. But I just think that the Mavericks are really interesting. Obviously, you mentioned the absence in the front court, so it sees a guy like Daniel Gafford take on a larger role. He has been really terrific in these first couple of games. He's been making people a lot of money in terms of chasing his overs, be it his points, rebounds, PRA, you name it. And Luka just continues to, you know, flirt with triple doubles on a nightly basis, and then listen to sex tapes at night and in post-game press conferences, I guess. But in terms of the DFS stuff, it's I just think the Oklahoma City side of things is that much more interesting. You know, you have a sense of what you're going to get from Shea. And like you said, Giddey has just been completely neutered, you know, in this offense for one reason or another. I mean, again, playing his unders has been beneficial. You don't want to put him into DFS lineups. It's crazy to think that, you know, you're seeing more value from the likes of Isaiah Joe or Cason Wallace, you know, guys like that, because they're seeing larger minutes, you know, with Giddey on the bench. And so when it comes to, you know, chasing points for DFS, as we know, you know, you look at and there are a million different services out there that do this, but you consider projections, obviously, for today. You got the one true stud that you feel like you absolutely have to roster, in my mind, and that is Luka Doncic. Whether, obviously, in the showdown, you want to think about captaining him, or obviously you're going to put him in there, or when it comes to a classic slate, you know, it would be an interesting pivot if you want to, you know, try and avoid dupes. But I think Luka is just a guy that, with a two-gamer, at that price, even, you got to get him in there. But at that point in time, then it, you know, you've got some choices to make, because, you know, do you want SGA? Do you figure Tatum is in line for a bounce back from a really quiet start to the series? Donovan Mitchell really woke up in the second half of game two after a really good game one. Does he come out and showcase himself as that Cavs offense? I would think he does if Cleveland has any hope of keeping it close or even staying within that 7-8 point spread. But those, again, that's your upper echelon. Then you start to get into sort of that mid tier, 6K to 8,500 on DraftKings. And again, you have choices to make. Like Evan Mobley, sure, you'd normally consider him, but if Jared Allen comes back, then how much does that take away from Mobley's focus, be it offensively or on the glass? Jaylen Brown, again, a little bit inconsistent, and his performance is so dependent upon Jason Tatum or even Derek White to some degree, who's coming off a quiet game. I think Jalen Williams, of course, you know, not Jalen with a Y, but the other, I think he is in line for a good game for OKC. Chet Holmgren was quiet last time out. He's another mid-range guy. Derek White, I think, is going to bounce back. And then, you know, again, it just sort like you consider that trickle down too, 4K to 6K. Again, we talked about Gafford, PJ Washington, kind of in a similar category. Drew Holiday, I think, is going to be back in a bigger way than he has been so far, really throughout this entire postseason, never mind just in this series. Al Horford, with no Kristaps Porzingis, has been really good. So there are a lot of names to consider, even in just a two-game slate, a lot of different ways you could build this out.
I think you're definitely right. Now, it's sort of interesting because we have two teams in the classic slate and then for the showdown slates where we really will be sort of guessing about their rotations. You know, we have seen Boston do different looks without Kristaps Porzingis in the lineup. We saw Cornette play a lot in game one. We saw him barely play in game two. Weirdly, I think that was a bad decision. You know, the Cavaliers were basically just putting Al Horford into every action. And if you don't have Cornette out there, it's harder for the Celtics to punish them with Darius Garland. You know, the Celtics need to kind of be, all right, Tatum, you get the ball. All right, Derek White, you get the ball. You get Darius Garland in the action a little bit harder when you've got Horford out there, because there's basically a spot for Garland to hide on defense. And then on the converse, I mean, what is Oklahoma City going to do with their starting lineup? Do they start?
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Case and Wallace and go small. Do they start Aaron Wiggins and go larger? Do they start big Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren, and wing Jalen Williams? They definitely could. I don't know if they will, but it's definitely a possibility. So we have some pretty interesting stuff there. We're going to keep diving into those potential lineup wrinkles. Adam and I are going to continue our NBA DFS discussion when we get back. Don't go anywhere. Stay on the grid as we break down the Oklahoma City Dallas showdown slate and the Boston Cleveland showdown slate. We'll be back here in a few moments.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. Davis Maddock and Adam Kaufman breaking down the showdown slates that we have today. Actually, we have a classic slate as well. On DraftKings, two pretty big games actually here. I think whoever wins Oklahoma City, Dallas game three takes a pretty commanding lead here in the series. And, you know, not an insignificant game either for Boston and Cleveland. We have not seen, you know, we definitely have not seen Boston trail in a series since last season's NBA playoffs. I would be very surprised if Cleveland got the upset, but certainly not impossible as they return there. I've taken a pretty deep look at this slate for Oklahoma City Dallas showdown, of course, going with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the captain. You're getting pretty significant savings. Luka costs over $20,000 DraftKings dollars of the $55,000 salary cap there. But I definitely would not, I would not enter one lineup, even if I was playing 150, without Doncic or Shai in captain. Just the way these teams score fantasy points, it's very hard for me to imagine even Kyrie being the optimal captain here. So Shai in the captain, he actually has the easier defensive matchup between Doncic and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, because the Dallas does not have the equivalent of a Lu Dort or a Jalen Williams. Continuing the lineup with Lu Dort, he's going to have one of the biggest knock-on effects of Giddy not playing. I would imagine essentially for the rest of the playoffs, we're going to see Dort right around 40 minutes or so, and he's going to have a larger role on offense with Giddy on the bench because he has to become the shooter. I mean, he really does have to become the most prominent three-point shooter with Giddy not in the lineup. He's got to be providing that space. I suppose I could be wrong about that if Isaiah Joe ends up starting. I don't think that's the direction we'll go. Derrick Jones Jr. has been one of the big injury beneficiaries of Kleba not playing. He's actually playing backup three and backup four in addition to starting. So he just is right about 38 minutes a night. My guess, Adam, is that it is Cason Wallace that ends up starting, not Isaiah Joe or Aaron Wiggins. I think it's the right matchup. I think they like Cason Wallace's defense on Kyrie Irving. And Jalen Williams, big Jalen Williams, not wing Jalen Williams, is going to end up playing. They played him and Chet together in game two, which they barely did in the regular season. So that is how we are saving money and getting Shai and Luka in there together. What say you, Adam?
So I like your lineup, and I like the strategy. One thing that I like most about it is that I think there's a certain reliability to it, in that you know that the guys that you mentioned that you rostered there are going to be out there on the floor for at minimum, let's say, 14, 15 minutes in the case of a Jalen Williams. We don't really know what Isaiah Joe's workload is going to be, but you got to figure at baseline, it's looks like that, and it's maybe even up to 20-25, all things dependent. So I went a little bit different. I'm chasing the potential triple-double and big-time points and paying up for Luka in the captain spot. As you outlined, I think you want to throw multiple darts at the board when it comes to a showdown lineup like this, with a Luka, with a Shai, especially if you're going with some sort of you know, lesser than and value, if you will, in that captain spot. But the way that I wound up doing it, and maybe you'll like it, maybe you won't, I've got Luka there at captain, and I want to continue to pay up for some of the guys who really could go out and perform at a very high level, which means in the flex, I also have SGA. You have to have him on the OKC side. I also have Kyrie Irving, who, as we know, is capable for a real big bounce back game from what he did in game two and blowing up and getting you 40, 50, even, in excess of that fantasy points. But then, obviously, when you do that, you need to have some value. And so, like you, I was looking at Cason Wallace and Isaiah Joe. I put both of them in the lineup, and I think both of these guys, one, are prone to shoot. You look at, you know, the shots per minute, like these guys are just going to come out firing, whether they start or come off the bench. But that leaves you with very little, which is basically a punt play for a final spot, which you do have to risk a zero on. So I'm looking for upside and hoping that we don't get the goose egg. And that's Gordon Hayward. He is, again, dirt cheap, obviously. He is, you know, he'll probably be owned in a fair percentage of lineups with people thinking the same thing who want a Luka or an SGA in that captain spot. But that's the approach that I took.
I like it. I think Hayward is a little bit of a forgotten man, but he really fits this series. I mean, especially if Kleba, and I mean, Kleba's not going to play in this game, but in game four, I think he is potentially expected to be back. Hayward is supposed to be giddy, but available on, you know, good defensive player. That was why they made that. And he's going to be super low owned in Classic and in Showdown. So I really like that call. Don't forget about Gordon Hayward. We're going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on the program. Craig Mish rejoins me and Gray Albright. Thank you to Adam for hopping on the program.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Today on Sports Grid, Craig Mish, Davis Maddock. We've got Gray Albright on the show today. I have a feeling I know where he'll be at 4 o'clock Eastern, which is 1 o'clock Gray Albright time of Razzball. It is Paul Skeens' debut. And, you know, Gray, this is, you know, a great story for reality, for fantasy. And, you know, you can't get a more anticipated starting pitcher start today. I guess the question just becomes is, can he live up to these insane expectations? He was so fun to watch in college. And I just can't wait to get a glimpse of hopefully what is a successful start today. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no, totally. No, I was trying to recall when the last big starting pitcher call-up was. I guess you could say Grayson Rodriguez last year, but that, you know, sort of deflates the balloon a little. It doesn't feel like there's been one for a long time. Maybe Strasburg, Gooden. Yeah, that was, you know, going back probably before a lot of the viewers' time.
How about Dontrell Willis? Dontrell
was so fun when he was first called up. I don't know if really he was as big as Paul Skeens is right now, though.
I agree.
I think Skeens has the opportunity. Like, you watch him in the minor leagues and you're like, you're looking at him and you're thinking, this guy looks like he's been in the major leagues for 3 years and he's down in the minor leagues just rehabbing. Like, he doesn't look like a minor leaguer at all. Like, he is blowing people away like the other AAA hitters are basically little leaguers, right? Like, it seems like he is on another level that we have not seen since, I think, Strasburg. You know, I think he has a real chance of coming into the majors and being this year a top 15 to 10 pitcher overall, which is like unheard of for a rookie pitcher. You know, like we were talking about Christian Scott last week, the Mets rookie call up, and he looks fabulous, but he's a rookie pitcher. And you see that with the, you know, the uneasiness and sort of the, you know, the up and down nature of being a rookie pitcher. Like, you'll see that with other guys who are rookie pitchers. I don't think we're going to see that with Paul Skeens. I think what we're going to see with him is just flat out dominance. I'd be surprised if we don't see, you know, that. And really, I think probably the only big drawback is going to be his innings. How many innings can he really throw? I don't know. I've heard anywhere from 100 innings to 75. And I don't know. I would be shocked if the Pirates throw him for more than, you know, 5 to 6 innings in a start at all this year. Like, if they let him go out, I mean, it depends on the pitch count, obviously. But if he goes out and, you know, he gets like maybe 6 innings, I think the Pirates would be more than happy, even if he's at a low pitch count. I don't see them throwing him a lot at all.
Yeah, I want to expand 1 second, Davis, before I get to you. Back to the Pirates here for a minute. Two questions, Gray, for you. Number one, what was the pricing like on him going into the fantasy season? And number two, we've seen Jared Jones come up. We've seen the Pirates sort of turning things around a little bit. Gray, do you feel like, and I know this is a loaded question, I know there's two of them, do you feel like the owner and Charrington, do you feel like they have to go for it next year? Like, it feels like if there was ever a point where the Pirates need to go in, maybe not this year, I get it, but don't you feel like the Pirates owe it to sign someone next year to not just like a 1 year Rich Hill deal, to like a multi-year mega guy, $100 million, I don't know, $80 million, someone like that?
Yeah. So, okay. So the second question first, I would say the Pirates, they should go in, right? But the problem is, unlike the Orioles, who we've seen do the rebuild, the Pirates don't really have a ton of bats to support these pitchers. So, you know, if they go out and they sign Juan Soto, you know, great for them. I don't really see that happening, but maybe they can get some smaller pieces who are still good bats, because they need basically like 3 to 4 free agent bats. Like, they don't really have anything outside of like O'Neill Cruz and Brian Reynolds, right? I mean, maybe if Andy Rodriguez comes back and he's as good as they think behind the plate, okay. But they still need kind of like a first baseman. They need a solid like third baseman. They need a corner outfield. They need a bunch of bats, really. And I don't think it's not going to be a matter of, okay, we can go out and get like these small, like Carlos Santana type bats. I don't think that's going to do the trick for their lineup, you know?
Mm-hmm. And then as far as the pricing goes,
right. So then the pricing in the preseason was oddly suppressed. I didn't really understand it, because like I said, I think Paul Skenes is going to be an ace like immediately. And the pricing was kind of like flat, like maybe in the like $1 to $5 in most mixed leagues in auctions, and after $225, $250 overall in snake drafts.
It's crazy cheap. Yeah. Relative to what I would expect. I wonder if they go the other way. They were keeping the kid gloves on Paul Skenes while he was at AAA. But they're, you know, I mean, I don't know if they are contending. I suppose they probably aren't, but maybe they could get a reasonable result. And if you're going to call him up and have him in the major leagues anyway, why not let him go, you know, 97 pitches? A lot of the new evidence that's coming out, like last like 6 months or stuff, is that actually guys are getting babied a bit too much, that it's gone the other way from, you know, protecting guys' shoulders. Now their shoulders are really built up, but actually not maybe getting enough work with kind of the UCL and some of those forearm tendons, which is like, I mean, look, all of that is very inside baseball, but I do wonder if now that he's up, like, let him go 95 pitches if he feels good. And if he doesn't feel good, you know, you readjust at that point. I do want to ask you about, to me, the guy who has been the best pitcher in baseball, I mean, I think to everyone, Shoto Imanaga for the Chicago Cubs, 43 strikeouts, 5 walks. You cannot lay a hand on this guy if you are a National League hitter right now. From the advanced statistical profile, I mean, is this guy going to regress? Is he this good? What's the secret? Is he, you know, is he throwing 9 different pitches for strikes? How is Imanaga this good, Gray?
Yeah, no, I think it's really his split finger and his fastball. So he throws like, he's not like incredible velocity. He's only throwing, I think, 92 miles per hour on average. His split finger really just bottoms out, and it tunnels similar to the fastball. So basically what that means is the split finger looks like the fastball coming out of the hand. So the batter really has very little time to adjust. And then the ball, before you know it, it just drops off the plate. You know, we've seen similar in the past with like Kevin Gausman, who was a, you know, an ace last year. He struggled a little this year, but that's more because of injury. So, yeah, you know, I think Shota, to me, I was kind of a little bit hesitant in the preseason because I didn't know how his stuff would play here. And even though, like, it looks great, and I think it's going to continue to look great, he has had some command issues in Japan. So I'm a little bit surprised we haven't seen that at all. So I wouldn't be surprised if maybe at some point, like, that rears its head. Maybe. But at this point, I mean, he looks like – he looks amazing. He looks like the best pitcher, maybe not only the NL Rookie of the Year, but possibly the Cy Young.
Yeah, it'd be crazy to win both. Yeah, there was a guy on the Cubs that I knew. And in March, I told Davis, I'm like, hey, there's this guy, Imanaga, man. I don't know what you can do with this. You may want to use him as much as you can from this guy I know on the Cubs is telling me to get this guy. Anyway, worked out. Davis knows.
Yeah.
Gray, you know too. Thanks again for coming on the show. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and
how to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Chumba. Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. It's time for us to dive into a set of true or false questions. But we play a little game here on FST at the end of each program. It's called Fantasy or Reality. Back on June 8th, 2010, Steven Strasburg made his major league debut. He threw seven innings, he gave up four hits, two earned runs, and he struck out 14 batters. Now, back then, you could have probably bet player props somewhere, although you would have had to do it somewhere online and in China and pay somebody in a laundromat in order to get paid. This day and age, you can actually do it legally. You can bet these props. It's, you know, as sports betting is now legal and has been for a long time in several states. Davis, fantasy or reality, Paul Skeens will have a more memorable debut than Steven Strasburg. You know, for me, now that I've looked at those numbers, 14 strikeouts, and I just didn't realize. I remember it being amazing. I guess I didn't remember it being that good.
Yeah, you know, like I said at the top of the show, weirdly enough, 14 freaking years ago, I do remember this game. I was watching it in my childhood basement, you know, beautiful day, PNC Park against the Pirates. I guess sort of interesting that we have the Pirates intersection here. No chance. 0.0% chance will Paul Skeens have anything approximating something this memorable. Steven Strasburg was a star. You could definitely argue that it was kind of all downhill for Steven Strasburg from that debut, right? He really struggled with his health. No, that's not true. Yeah, well, no, remember, he won a championship. I mean, he was a huge part. Yeah. So that's... It's not true. I mean, look, Steven Strasburg to me is a little bit of a cautionary tale because I remember how bright he burned and how quick that star went out after being overexerted. But yeah, no chance. 0.0%. Most memorable debut start probably in baseball history for Steven Strasburg.
Yeah, I think Strasburg stands for two different things. I think he stands for that, for one of the most memorable debuts of all time. And he also stands for how every pitcher is sort of handled now. Where that's when it started becoming, hey, we got to be careful with this guy. And by the way, it didn't matter with Strasburg, and it probably hasn't mattered since with anyone else. The bottom line is that when you're born, You're not given an arm that's supposed to throw 100 pitches at 95 miles an hour, and the arm is not built that way, and that's what we're forcing every one of these kids to do. I see it every day when I'm involved in youth baseball as well. But Davis is 100% right. There's just no way because of this day and age. Now, I would say this. If Paul Skeens 10 years ago was making his major league debut, he probably could do this if they would let him do it. They're just not going to let him do this. And in fact, there's going to come a point, Davis, where there's no question. I don't know exactly, if it's Derek Shelton, the manager, Davis, or if it's the pitching coach, but you know what they're telling Paul Skeens. Hey, listen, don't go out there and strike everybody out. Pitch to some contact, get in, get out, and we're happy. With Strasburg, they probably are like, just go out and do whatever. Like, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Do whatever you're going to do. I mean, that's just, times have changed significantly. And again, this 14 years ago is a long time. I'm with you, fantasy. What is going on with the Twins catchers, Davis? Maybe this is the commodity we're missing. Joe Mauer just got in the Hall of Fame. Mitch Garver, remember him with Minnesota, how good he was at catcher? He was incredible. Now they got this other guy, Ryan Jeffers. It's like one after the other. The Twins just know how to develop these catchers somehow. Fantasy reality, Jeffers, whose numbers are off the charts, will finish as a top five fantasy catcher. Guess what he was going into the season? Top 25? Top 20? Top 15? Nowhere near top five.
I mean, I think he probably will, because Ryan Jeffers has always been good per plate appearance in his career. I mean, he's 27 now. His strikeouts are way down, like way down, and his fly balls are up, which would indicate, basically that he's just seeing the ball super well, lofting it up in the air without sacrificing too much. Already 8 home runs. Now, keep in mind, another thing of will he finish top five is you get to bank the numbers that he already has. How about this? How many catchers have led the American League in slugging percentage? Probably not that many in their day. I'll take reality here. Yeah, Ryan Jeffers, good lineup spot, good power. I say he will finish as a top five catcher. Reality.
Yeah, I mean, it is trending that way. I think that I would have probably said fantasy, but there's a couple of things that have happened. And I think the most important one, and it's really unfortunate, Davis, as you know, to have Wilson Contreras now down for, I mean, he was like the shining star of the Cardinals. And now with that fractured arm, he's not going to come back anytime soon. Cardinals may be out of it by the time he comes back. But I think Jeffers goes from that borderline to in. All right, now this is one man I was completely wrong on, and even a couple of weeks ago, completely wrong on. The Houston Astros, Davis, man, I can't figure this one out. Fantasy reality, the Astros will make the postseason in 2024. They're in last place. They're still plus 135. Like, that's not even a crazy price.
You know what, Craig? They're going to do it. They are going to do it. They have Verlander back in the rotation now. He's been not that great, but he's 41 years old. I think he might just need a little bit of time to get that old creaky body up and running. The bullpen, weirdly enough, other than Hader, has actually been good. How about Hader leading their relief pitchers and earned runs allowed? That's just a little bit of, I think, to be honest, I think that's a little bit of bad luck. I think that's the sort of thing you can expect to regress at a certain point. And I mean, look, they did solve their biggest problem on offense, which is they said, adios, Jose Abreu. Why don't you go figure it out? I got reality. They're going in the right direction. They are going to make the playoffs.
I keep saying reality to this, and it keeps looking worse and worse and worse. As time goes by, they can't get hot. I guess I'll go with you one more time here. But in a week or two, I gotta pivot my opinion if nothing changes here. Because outside of Altuve, I need to see Kyle Tucker get hotter. I need to see Alex Bregman get hot. And I got to see Hader turn it around.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
For that to happen. Do we have time to do the last one? Let's do it real quick. Fantasy reality, Juan Soto is the best value to lead baseball in home runs this season. Why would we do that? It's going to be Ohtani,
nope.
Right?
Nope. Fantasy. I mean, he's 15-1 to do it, but I don't care. I take Ohtani at even money.
Yeah.
It's still Ohtani.
Me too. Me too. Otani's, I saw him playing this week. He's out of this world. Continues to be. He said he was going to be more focused without the pitching. He was right. He is.
Yep.
We'll wrap it up next. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We got about 5 minutes to go. Kevin Walsh is standing by with game time decisions, and following Kevin, it's betting above the rim and coaches in the house, Coach Young with Scott Farrell. They'll get you ready for the two basketball games today. Maybe they'll talk some UFL football. I'm so happy we have not done any UFL on this show, to be honest with you. I know it's coming to an end in the next couple of weeks, but gosh, it has been another rough season for the alternative football leagues. But anyway, Davis, of course, has followed the Kansas City Royals very closely. Used to live in St. Louis. We follow everything in baseball. But Davis, really interesting note here on the St. Louis Cardinals, how they did spend money again this offseason. They signed Gibson. They signed Sonny Gray. They've committed all this money to Arenado and Goldschmidt, Miles Michaelis, Steven Matz, Giovanni Gallegos, $86 million in salary, making up about half the payroll with a combined WAR of 0.4. This is not one of I told you so's, Davis, at all, but I go back to spring training. Like, I just didn't see that much of a difference with this team. Like, am I surprised that they're going to be teetering on 90 losses this year, if that's the case? Yeah, I mean, I guess that's surprising, but if you told me at the end of the year they were like 500 or just below, it wouldn't have surprised me. Like, they just didn't do enough. Odd roster construction, extending the manager, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Ollie Marmol, but extending the manager based off last year didn't really make any sense to me. And in a city like St. Louis, Davis, I don't think at this stage they can go, all right, blow it up, bring in, you know, new GM, new manager, let's start all over with prospect. You can't really get away with that there. So, I mean, I am very curious to see what ends up happening with this franchise.
I don't really know. I mean, it is strange in the sense of most of their core is quite old. Contreras, 32, Goldschmidt, 36, Arenado, 33. They also, I mean, look, they just didn't really have an answer at starting pitcher. They don't really have anyone in the pipeline that they can call. They've got Gibson, 36, Michaelis, 35, Lance Lynn, 37, Sonny Gray, 34, Steven Matz, 67. I mean, does that sound like the core of a 90-win team to you? Doesn't particularly sound like the core of a 90-win team to me. Sounds more like the core of a 72-win team to me. Maybe they have something that I am completely unaware of down in the pipeline. It's possible. You know, I would definitely hesitate to be like, well, this is definitely Ollie Marmol's fault, because what, like, really at the end of the day, I mean, you would know more than I would. What is a manager really to do? Like, managers definitely have an impact on wins and losses around the margins in terms of like pinch hit, pinch run, when to go to the bullpen, yada, yada. But obviously a lot of that stuff is also informed at a team philosophy level and from the front office. Like, you do not have carte blanche as a manager to just do things without consulting the eggheads in the front office. I guarantee you that. So, you know, they're just a bad baseball team in a town that is used to having really good baseball teams.
Yeah, I mean, before we get to the Sports Grid 60, I mean, Skip Schumacher, Davis, won Manager of the Year last year. He's going to lose 110 games, potentially, with the Marlins this year. I mean, has that ever happened in history, where they won the Manager of the Year to lose 100 the next year? It just shows you a lot of this is about the roster. All right, time now for the Sports Grid 60.
All right, well, I do just want to talk here a little bit about golf. We're going to be doing the PGA Championship next weekend. And I really, the last, since the Masters to this point, I really have focused on this, which is I really like golf, Craig. I would assume worldwide and in the United States, I got to be a top 1% fan of golf in the world in terms of, you know, how much I'm watching it, how much I'm betting on it, how much I know about the players. And I've reached the point that I think the live tour damage is permanent. I don't think even if they reached an agreement, I will ever care as much about golf as I did before, which is just a bit of a bummer. So that's all I got.
All right. That's a shame. Also a shame is this recycling of coaches in the NBA. Have we got to ridiculous levels here? I mean, I thought Monty Williams did a bad job in Phoenix. Okay, if you wanted to believe that. Frank Vogel goes 49-33. Gets fired? Are you kidding me? Just signed a contract extension, and then they go back to another coach who got fired in Budenholzer? I mean, come on, can you not find any new coaches in the National Basketball Association? Goodbye, Charlotte, hiring a new guy. I mean, no offense, by the way, to these guys who keep getting recycled. I want you all to get jobs, but please, like, can we find somebody new? That'll do it for the show today. Thanks to Gray Albright and Adam Kaufman, for our producer Sam and my co-host Davis Maddock. I'm Craig Mish. I hope you enjoy the rest of your Saturday, and happy Mother's Day to all.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.